Good evening, America. Great to be back. Continue our conversation on the executive summary, and today we'll be covering the addendum that's attached to that, which is a historical document. But before we get into all that, let's go to our Father in Heaven in prayer. Representative Binder, Mark Binder, would you please lead us in prayer?
Thank you, Governor Carpenter. Father Creator, in the name of Jesus, hear our prayer. Thank you for all those who are standing for truth and are rebuking Babel across this land. United and with your purpose, we are strong. Thank you for sending leaders among us to teach and put current events into perspective for us so that we may watch and warn others. Thank you for a strong military, chock full of patriots and veterans that would lay their lives down for American freedom. Watch over your republic, Father, and send help to us when we are in need. We pray for the release of James Timothy Turner, Father, for he has been a political prisoner for far too long. Bring him home to his family soon. We pray for a dome of protection that is impenetrable by the enemy around President Donald Trump, President James Geiger, President James Timothy Turner, and around all patriots and Christians around the world and their family and friends. Strengthen us to be the spiritual warriors that we are destined to be, Father. Give us the provisions and wisdom needed to carry out your plan and to restore our God-given, constitutional, rule of law, de jure republic. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Let me quickly reintroduce ourselves. I'm the governor for Colorado Free State, other republics, James E. Carpenter. With us tonight, we have author and co-author of Reinhabited books, books 1 and 2, available through Amazon, David Jean Hurtler, and also Chief Justice of the Free State of Indiana, Roger Waters. We have a lot to offer in this because we're part of what we're bringing to you tonight in the form of the executive summary. So let's get started. You can follow along if you choose on our website, republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org. Go to the executive summary, and we're on the attachment to the historical document. The Republic for the United States of America, a provisional interim government for the American people, running parallel to the United States Corporation. The de jure representative American Republic was re-inhabited in an interim capacity in 2010 and is reaching out to the American people to ask them if they want their republic back. The United States exists today in two forms. One, the original de jure United States of America Republic that was controlled by the American people until about 1871. At that time, the government had very little authority since the power was in the hands of the people. And the original Constitution was never removed. It's simply been dormant since about 1871, and it is still intact to this day. The other form is the de facto. During the years around 1871, the original representative American Republic was usurped by banking interests and others to create a separate and different government, the corporation, the United States Corporation, that poses and acts as our current government. The United States Corporation, all capital letters, operates under corporate commercial law rather than the common law of the Constitution or private law. The rewritten United States corporate constitution subverted the original Constitution for the United States of America. In other words, the Constitution was placed under the corporation as opposed to over the government. And this explains why our congressmen and senators no longer answer to the people. The president can write unlawful mandates and executive orders, and the jury can make unconstitutional rulings. They are following corporate bylaws that completely strip Americans of our God-given and unalienable rights. So let's take a pause here for a moment. Gene Herger, would you share a little bit about your knowledge of Lawrence versus Bidwell and that Supreme Court decision that has determined what I just stated?
I'd be happy to, Governor Carpenter. Downs versus Bidwell was a United States Supreme Court case in 1901. It's 182 U.S. 244. The U.S. Supreme Court acknowledges two national parallel governments in existence. Justice Marshall Harlan's dissenting opinion is, The idea prevailed with some indeed. It found expression in arguments at the bar that we have in this country substantially or practically two national governments, one to be maintained under the Constitution, de jure, with all its restrictions, the other to be maintained by Congress, de facto, outside and independently of that instrument, by exercising such powers as other nations of the earth are accustomed to exercise. And that's the law, right on the books.
Thank you, Jean. Chief Justice Waters, would you speak a little bit into entities created by man and who has ultimate authority over entities? Because obviously what Jean has brought forth is evidence of an entity, a corporation, being controlled by the people. So can you kind of explain how that works, sir?
Yes, sir. You know, in 1871, the dagger was put in where Congress voted in a corporate-style government called the Organic Act of the District of Columbia. And when they did that, they knew what they were doing. The American people didn't. They woke up one morning with a different government. That government in itself is not of the people, by the people, or for the people, but simply of the government, by the government, for the government. And what that is, it's an entity that's established by the ultra-rich at that time, the elite, those that think they are in charge. Ultimately, in our form of government under the Republic, we have a creator that's in charge. All laws are based upon his word. All laws are based upon righteousness. Everything is derived from the Declaration of Independence through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And what they did was they took that away, put it on the bottom of the government, and brought it to a place to where it was hidden, no longer in use, and the average person in a state had no clue as to what happened. And therefore, the average person was enslaved. Over the years, the next 100 years, so many different mandates, so many different types of illegal laws and executive orders were brought forth from this corporation that shouldn't exist, but did. And now the American people are starting to wake up and realize there's something not right with this. How can they pledge allegiance on C-SPAN to a republic and then go to work with a democracy? That is an entity that does not belong in this country or this nation.
Thank you, Roger. Let's put that into everyday reality. We now have, supposedly, the elected president, Joe Biden, mandating that in the corporation, the whole or the person in power can trample on individual rights and mandate that we mask up, take the shot. If we don't, we can't be accepted in society. That's taking away the individual's rights. And that's totally lawful in a corporation, because the corporation has to look out for the survivability of the entity that controls us. In a republic, this is why they don't want to hear about it, is because they can't trample on any individual rights. My right to not get the jab, my right to not mask up, my right to live life as I choose fit and examine the evidence as I choose fit is my right. It can't be trampled on. And in a republic, everybody stands up to support my right, because my right is equal to their right. And if they can trample on my right, then they can trample on their right. And so that is the spirit in republic, not dominance, overseer, and dictator as to who we are and how we're going to live our lives. Let's go on. We covered last week, and I'll briefly go over that, who we're not. We're not associated with sovereign anarchistic groups or movements. We're not associated with unlawful militia groups or movements. We're We're not associated with nation-state groups or movements, and we're not part of any groups or movements that promote violence of any kind. The Republic is not part of the unlawfully chartered United States Municipal Corporation, its agents, or any sub-corporations, directly or indirectly. And this includes political powers. So let me make a little interjection right here. In my perception, President Trump is faced with a real problem right now because he's guaranteed to the people by his oath that he would return the power back to the people. But yet, it's the Republican National Convention that is supporting his cause. He is the boy, the flagship for their cause. Their cause is to maintain governance as the Republican National Convention. And you would think that their enemy is the Democratic Party, by the way things are played out. That's only partly so. Their enemy is us, because they're just as much of the corporate problem as the Democrats are, or as the Libertarians, or the Socialists, or the Communist American Party. Boy, that really burns me to say that, but it is what it is. We have to take our country back, folks. President Trump has done his job to hamstring the corporation, to bring down their banking interests, the way they control us through their money, and their adhesion contracts. And once that entity is gone, and all the sub-entities attached to it, that means states, that means city municipalities, once that entity is gone, it's back to we the people. And rightfully so, because we the people birthed this corporation, and we the people have the right and the constitutional obligation to put it to bed where it belongs, or in Gitmo, as we need be. Let's go on to the following page. On July 4, 1776, our American founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence to change the world forever. It was the first time in history that a group of common people declared their God-given rights to be free from the oppression of tyrant kings. This is a new idea. The Revolutionary War was fought and won under the direction of General George Washington, who became the first president of the United States of America, and a Congress was convened, and the Constitution was adopted in 1787 and ratified in 1788, and amended through the Bill of Rights in 1791. The Constitution established and guarantees a Republican form of government for the American people. The actions of our founding fathers set us on a path that created one of the greatest nations on earth. Justice Waters, would you briefly enlighten the American people as to some of these patriotic movements known as nation states that are going around, and how that movement supersedes this document and this Bill of Rights that we so enjoy, and what are the consequences if we were to go back to that time period to rebuild our nation? Would you briefly comment on that, sir?
Yes, sir. In a nutshell, the Founding Fathers went through the Revolutionary War. They brought in the Articles of Confederation, where each state was its own nation, so to speak, had its own currency, its own government, acted on its own. And they found out trade, money, and trying to work with each other was a nightmare. And thus came the Constitution. A nation-state group simply wants to go back to the Articles of Confederation and live and work and operate under that law form. It doesn't work, for one, and number two, you would be starting a brand new government. This is not who the Republic is. The Republic will not do that. We will not endorse it. We will not even think about it. So a nation-state is bad. Think of it like this. You're working on your computer, and all of a sudden you get a virus. That virus would be the nation-state groups. And once you got rid of them, the virus, your computer works good again. This is what the Republic and versus the nation-state groups would be like. The nation-state groups would be that virus. We'd have to get rid of them because it doesn't work compatible with the Republic.
Plus, correct me if I'm wrong, Justice Waters, but should we go back and adopt the law form of that time period, That's prior to our Constitution and Bill of Rights. So now we don't have the protection of those documents to offer to the American people. Am I correct in that?
Yes, sir, you are, because if we go back to the Articles of Confederation, the people don't have the Constitution nor the Bill of Rights. And if you don't have that, well, you just don't have freedom.
Thank you, Justice Waters. David Jean Herder, would you have a comment on that?
What I would share is that under the Articles of Confederation, it didn't work. There was mayhem. And so our founding fathers regathered in order to form a more perfect union. So why would we want to go back to something that didn't work, was already tried, and it failed? It would be logical that we would go back to what did work, and that would be the Constitution of the United States until it was usurped and put in dormancy.
Thank you, Jean. Mr. One, it also established that the American people must self-govern. According to Chisholm versus Georgia, the Supreme Court ruled that the American people are sovereign in this country and hereafter referred to as the American people. I will quote, "It will be sufficient to observe briefly that the sovereignties of Europe, and particularly in England, exist on feudal principles, the same feudal ideas that run through all of their jurisprudence and consistently remind us that the distinction between the prince and the subject, no such ideas obtain here. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of this country, but they are the sovereigns without subjects, and have none to govern but themselves. The citizens of America are equal as fellow citizens and as joint tenants in the sovereignty." And that was kind of what I was explaining earlier, is that in republic, it's not two wolves and a sheep voting who's for dinner. But they warned about turning in ambitious and unprincipled men. And George Washington warned the people about ultimately we're successful in subverting our representative American republic. And one of the ways they did was by using banking as a weapon against the American people. Foreign banking interests influenced many in our nation and in our government to control our monetary system. During the following 1870s, those banking interests realized that the new constitutional republic could not lawfully be destroyed, so they set it aside and moved forward with a new corporate democratic system of governance. Hence, the American people were never informed that their governance had changed from a representative republic to a corporate democracy or an oligarchy controlled by the rich and the powerful. The American people have the lawful right and authority to change our system of governments, but a new de jure Congress never asked us to decide or prove this unlawful change in government. The unlawfully usurped the God-given unalienable rights of the American people without our consent. It's in direct violation of our law form and makes any actions taken under their color of law as the all-capital letter United States Municipal Corporation null and void. Oh boy, now that is an exciting concept. Justice Waters. So, am I correct in saying that all these UCC codes and statutes put upon the American people since the inception of this corporation could instantly be erased from jurisdiction if we, the American people, simply stood up in mass and demanded our republic back? Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir, it is.
Isn't that interesting? How many people have got a beef with this agency or that agency or this law or that infringement? But you're telling me that all these different beefs that the American people carry could all be erased in one fell swoop. That's an interesting concept.
Yes, and what's even more interesting about it is the Northwest Ordinance tells us that 30,000 from each state, if 30,000 people could stand up like that and they could take a vote and vote in the republic, it doesn't make any difference what D.C. says. They would be gone.
Well, now that you brought that up, let's take a look at that, sir. Can you kind of go through the points of interest that we would need to gain to accomplish this task you just mentioned?
Well, as we have in the republic, we got a president. According to the Northwest Ordinance, the president is obligated to appoint a governor in the territories. Now, as what is described in the Northwest Ordinance, a territory is an area of land that is not yet a state. So if a state, as it is today, does not have a republic-appointed governor, then that governor that's appointed by the republic president would become the head of that territory or that boundaried state, called a territory. We would need then two senators, a representative, and a judge. And once we got that, 30,000 people, if they would all come together in an assembly and vote to become a state and vote as with all the other 49 states in the union at the same time, vote for a president and a vice president the way the Constitution tells us to do that, which, by the way, is not the way the corporation do it. Even under their own lame laws, the morons can't even do that right. So we would do it according to the Constitution, and we would lawfully regain our nation, regain our government, and push aside the de facto, the corporate, the entity that does not belong, those that imitate. And by the way, they break the law every day, because there's a law in the books that says if you act like an official but aren't, that is a high crime. And that's what every one of these individuals are doing, all the way down to your city mayor.
Well, Roger, since I've been elected by the people of Colorado Free State to be their voice, I'm going to be their devil's advocate, if you will. So that's a pretty picture. So that means that some dictator can come in here and claim jurisprudence or jurisdictional authority over the United States and point all his cronies to these different positions, and now we have a dictator in power. How's that? Something wrong. It doesn't pass the smell test, sir.
No, it doesn't. Because that dictator has not lawfully, under international law, staked claim to who he is, what he represents, and that he does not represent the original republic government of this nation. The republic has done that.
Well, you missed my point, and I apologize. It's off the cuff, folks. We just got to flow with what goes. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's not appointment under the Northwest Ordinance. It's vetted. Those people are vetted by your constituents, your representatives in the houses of Congress. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, the president appoints the governor. Everybody else is brought forth by the people of that state, which is then vetted.
It's not just an appointment process. That appointment process just opens the conversation then, and along with the consent of the people, representatives, then those people can hold interim office such as we hold today. Am I correct in that, Roger?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to make that clear because everybody's goosey today, and rightfully so. Fool me once, shame on me. You fool me twice, shame on me. American people don't need a second go-around. They need the real deal. And we're the real deal. We represent you at the international level, recognized by paperwork that has been accepted through the Hague, the UPU, the United Nations, conversations with Trump administration. We are who we say we are, folks. I encourage you, go to our website, republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org. Go in and where do we begin? Take the time to own your liberty and your freedom and read our Declaration of Sovereign Intent and the claim and the interest that we put on the assets of the soon bankrupt corporation for your benefit. Because as President Trump so graciously did, he brought forth an executive order that we're living through today as we absolve these enemies that have infringed upon our electoral process, we now own them. They are public entities. And so Mr. Bill Gates and Microsoft, and Dr. Fauci, and all you mega millionaires, we got you. Come join the Republic and you can enjoy the benefits of all that they obtained through deceit and corruption and killing people and harvesting our kids and doing unthinkable things to posterity through this vaccine. You medical workers, you doctors, those of you who work in the public sector, who are in the military, who defend our country, we're offering you a home, a new jurisdiction for moral and just people. Come home, America.